Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, October 1st, 2014 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Not a lot news about Shellshock today. We went back to Infocon Green in part because right now it appears to be stable in the sense, well, it's about as broken as it was before. We will keep monitoring the situation, of course, and we'll keep you up to date in case there are any new patches or any new vulnerabilities that are being discovered. Last count I have is still 6 vulnerabilities total in Bash. And still pretty much all the patches that are available for Linux distributions and as of yesterday OS X address the 2 most important of these problems. And as you're going back to normal over the next couple days or weeks, of course, one thing that will continue to be a problem is your good old users. So you may give them the latest issue of the Ouch newsletter that was released today. It just quickly summarizes 5 key steps that your users can take in order to stay more secure. This newsletter is again addressing at the non-computer security professionals, so this is something to hand to families and coworkers. And of course, tomorrow we are also starting the Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and then again, we will have a couple of diaries during October that focus on false positives and how they sometimes can scare us into believing that our systems got compromised. And for everybody who has to analyze a lot of malware, the FBI wants to help you and it is opening up its malware investigator portal. This is an automated system that will analyze malware for you, as the portal homepage says, in as little as an hour. And then, similar like other sort of sandboxes and such, you'll get a report outlining what this malware is doing. Pretty interesting. Of course, you will be sharing information with the FBI and the US government if you are submitting data to this portal. At this point, it's only available for law enforcement and the opening to the public should arrive soon. I don't see anything on the portal itself yet about how to sign up for it, but there is a hint for InfraGuard, so maybe you have to be an InfraGuard member in order to use this portal. Then something that actually happened sort of end of last week, but didn't make it into the podcast because of Shellshock. There is an interesting cross-site scripting vulnerability in the RAD editor control. Now, usually I don't cover sort of every cross-site scripting vulnerability out there, but this one is kind of interesting because this RAD editor here is having is probably something that you may see in other GUI-based web editors as well. The problem with these WYSIWYG rich text editors is that they're allowing the user to edit HTML, and then it is historically very difficult to properly separate JavaScript from proper HTML that the user may be allowed to use. You may know there are libraries like, for example, the anti-SAMI library that OWASP put out, or a couple of libraries like this for PHP and such that try to help developers with this problem. But overall, this is yet another way how these systems may possibly be exploited by using attributes in HTML tags instead of just the plain script tags. So if you are using one of these rich text editors, whether it's this particular RAD editor control or another one, this blog post may give you a couple of hints on what to look for if you're looking for vulnerabilities. And another story that sort of got missed in all the Shellshock hoopla, Cloudflare is now introducing what they're calling Universal SSL. What this means is that Cloudflare customers, and including their free accounts, are being offered now a free SSL certificate. The one problem I'm having a little bit with the setup is that the connection between the browser and Cloudflare will be SSL encrypted. However, the connection from Cloudflare to the actual origin web server will be in the clear. So you are not really defending fully against man-in-the-middle attacks or against eavesdropping. You're just preventing against these attacks as they may happen close to the browser. So for example, don't expect that this will be considered to be compliant with any kind of PCI standard or anything like that. However, I think it's a great way to get sort of a little community or a personal side behind SSL, because in that case, probably the main threat is to the browser or close to the browser, for example, in Wi-Fi networks, and this Cloudflare setup does offer a meaningful defense. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.